Good morning. Today, Mirtz Hashem, will be the last year on this topic. We're going to briefly review the halachos of a shutzvus between Yisrael and the Nakam, the Inyan Shabbos. And then I'm going to just go back through some of the practical etzos, halacha l'maisa, how to deal or how to structure a business that is open on Shabbos. Now, we briefly mentioned 2 weeks ago the halacha that if a Yisrael and a Goy are partners, they're both together, they're shutvim. So halacha is that if they realize, after they become partners, and they at some point they realize that the Yid can't work on Shabbos, so the Yid tells the Goy, I'll cover for you on Sunday, and you cover for me on Shabbos. So in this case, essentially what's happening is that since the responsibility to do the work is on both of them, when the Yid tells the Goy that you work on Shabbos for me and I'll work on Sunday for you, so essentially, when the Goy comes in on Shabbos, he's working on behalf of the Yid. And this is going to be Aser. In such a case, what has to be done is any profits that are generated on Shabbos belong to the Goy. Because this way he's not working for the Yisrael, he's working for himself, and that would be Mutter. Good, but if he's telling him specifically, you do Shabbos, when they're both responsible to take care of everything, and he's telling him, you cover for me on Shabbos, and it's both of our responsibilities, we're equally responsible to take care of Shabbos. So if he's telling him, you take care of, basically cover for me on Shabbos, and I'll cover for you on Sunday, so when he shows up on Shabbos, he's working for him. Now, that being said, if before they become partners, they make up, that we're going to be partners, we're going to share the burden together, but Shabbos is the Goy's responsibility, Sunday will be the Yid's responsibility, that will be Mutter. Because since from day one, the Yisrael was never responsible to work on Shabbos, when they created the partnership, it was with this understanding, on this condition, that Shabbos is the Goy's problem, Sunday is the Yid's responsibility. So there, we do not look at it as if the Goy is working on behalf of the Yid on Shabbos. We don't look at it as the Yid is working on behalf of the Goy on Sunday. And there would be Mutter. Now, what's clear is, and even in these cases of Heter, what's Mutter is to set it up like this, where the Goy will work on Shabbos, the Yid will work on Sunday. But when it comes to dividing the profits, the Goy is entitled to the profits and responsible for any Hefsid that takes place on Shabbos. And the Yid will get the profits that are generated on Sunday. Now, it's part of this upmach is that we're going to split the responsibility, and since the Yid is not responsible to work on Shabbos, there's no problem, and he can take Sunday's he can work on Sunday and get all the profits for Sunday. But the deal has to be that the Goy who's working on Shabbos gets the profits that are generated on Shabbos. The Yid that's working on Sunday will get the profits that are generated on Sunday. Now, if it's a business where Shabbos is the most profitable day, or the least profitable day, if it's not even, what the Poskim suggests is you can make up. It doesn't have to be one day for one day. You can say the Goy will work on Shabbos and he'll keep the profits on Shabbos. The Yid will be responsible to work on Monday and Tuesday and get the profits of Monday and Tuesday. You can work it out in a way where you expect it to balance out. But even when you're using this Ethereum, again, the Goy will get the Schar for Shabbos. The Yid will get the Schar for the other day.
Can it be mindful?
Yes. So at the end, if you make up this condition, if you make up Shabbos is yours, Sunday is mine, if at the end of the day when you come to split it, the Goy just says, you know what, forget the cheshbonis, it's too complicated, let's just call it a wash, there we pass in the halacha that will be mutter. But the original condition or the original upmach has to be that Shabbos is his, Sunday is yours. The Gros Moshe adds and that it has to be possible to track what the profits for Shabbos were, what the profits for Sunday or Monday were. If it's impossible, he said this whole upmach really has no meaning, it's a joke, and he says it will not work. And there are some other achbonim that argue, v'shas etchak, you'll ask a shayla, but the point of the Gros Moshe, it has to be at least possible. But lahalacha, if they choose not to, then they have every right to waive this eskel. Now, in a similar case, the Ran discusses a case, and the Ramah passing like this lahalacha, in a case where they don't say anything, where during the week, both the Yid and the Goy come, they work together. Shabbos, the Yid just doesn't show up. He doesn't instruct the guy, I'm not coming tomorrow, you make sure you're here to cover for me. He just doesn't show up on Shabbos. So here the halacha is that if the guy works on Shabbos, if at the end of the week they want to just split the profits equally, now the guy doesn't have to do that, he worked extra, but if they want to split the profits equally, there that is mutter. Since the Yisrael never told the guy, show up on Shabbos, and the guy came adaita to nafshe, he's coming, clearly the guy has no responsibility to come when the yid isn't here, he doesn't have to work more than the yid, so if he does it, adaita to nafshe, there that will be mutter, even at the end he ends up splitting the profits equally. Now, this halacha, this is if you set it up like this, this is a halacha mefureshes in Shulchan Aruch. This is motzer lecharchila. So, if a person has a goyish partner, this is a very good etzah. If the goy has enough, he has roughly a seventh. You need a little bit more because of yontiv, but if he has enough ownership where you can make up, Shabbos is yours, Monday is mine, and make a cheshbon at the end, or just choose to waive it at the end, this is certainly an etzah to have a business open lecharchila. The complication is that the case that's discussed in halacha is a very simple business. You have two partners, and they are doing all the work. So as long as in the beginning you make up that Shabbos is the goy's responsibility, Monday is the yid's responsibility, everything is fine. What happens when there are workers that work for the partnership? So here we have a problem. Because even if you make up with the goyish partner that you're going to come in on Shabbos, the workers that were hired, and they're schir yoyim, they're a poyo, they're on a salary, they're working on behalf of the partnership. And if the partnership is owned by the yid and the guy, so now we're back to a problem of amir lakum. Now, there is a lot of discussion among the achrayim about this problem. And the etzah that some place can give is basically to make up with a guy, or to make up with your partner, that Shabbos is your day. And what that means is not only are you getting all the profits, you are responsible to pay the worker. The workers on Shabbos are not working for me. They're only working for you, which means if there's some sort of hefsid, if you don't make any profits, you will personally be responsible to pay them. And they're no longer working for the partnership. What? So the Yerush Moshe writes that al pi din, the goy is responsible to cut the check. Now, it's interesting halacha. If on Shabbos they make money, the guy can tell the yid, listen, I made money. As in a chanami, this worker is my responsibility. But if you want to take a share of these profits, because we're going to end up just because I'll end, I'm agreeing, I'm okay doing a wash. We have to pay the workers first, so you'll be able to take the money out. It doesn't make a difference where the check comes from, but what you pay the workers will come and be paid before the profits are divided. But if there's a hefzid, if they don't make money on Shabbos, then the Gros Moshe and others write, it has to be the guy's responsibility. Now, not only does it have to be the guy's responsibility, but the worker has to realize that. The worker has to recognize that at this point, he is not working for the yid. He's not working for the partnership any longer. On Shabbos, he's working only for the guy. Because again, otherwise we're back to the problem of Amir La'akum, when the yid hired the worker and said, you're going to work for me 7 days a week at this salary, that itself is an Amir La'akum, even if on Shabbos the yid will not keep the profits. And therefore this heter, in a practical sense, is very difficult to pull off L'maisa when you have workers, because it's generally not very practical to have the workers paid by the goy one day a week. Now, what happens in a case where a person, when there are no workers, there's a regular partnership, where when they become partners, they don't make anything up. When they become partners, the understanding is that each will work whenever he works, and then afterwards they realize they have this problem of Shabbos. So here the halacha is they cannot, in the middle of the partnership, just make up verbally that, you know what, from now on Shabbos is only the goyis and Sunday is only the yids. The halacha is you have to undo the partnership. You have to give it back to the seller, whoever you bought the business from, and buy it back with these terms, that Shabbos is the goyis, Sunday is the yids. But just verbally, to do an internal arrangement where we're going to change the terms of the shutvis, there the halacha is this will not work. The Chazon Ish says it's a maris. You know, it's a bit of a problem. Why not? Why can't you change the terms midway? Just make a kinyan. Chazon Ish says it's a problem of maris ayin. Since when the partnership started, it was under different terms. You can't just change it without actually selling it back. So halacha l'may. Okay, you can stumble to, it probably doesn't have to be the moicher. That's probably lav dafka. If you have someone else you want to sell it to, and then buy it back under these new terms, that also should be fine. But now there's a similar halacha, and just I want to speak it out so that we don't get confused. This is when the guy and the yid are partners. There's a similar case where if a person gives money to a guy and says, "Go run it, go invest this for me, go do business for me." There the halacha is, if the guy is, assuming he's an aris, he's getting a percentage of the profits. If he chooses to work on Shabbos, that's fine, because you are not kaveh malachta. You didn't order him to work on Shabbos. He did it on his own. He's doing it because it's a daita de nafshei. There's no maris ayin. He's dealing with money. Money is fungible. You don't know who the investor is. And there, it's going to be mutter. Now, if this guy hires poyalim to work on Shabbos, so here you have a case where, on one hand, there are workers, there are poyalim, there's a schir yoyim, that's getting paid with this yid's money. But on the other hand, the whole setup is such that the yid has absolutely nothing to do with the work. He's not a partner in the sense he's not responsible to do any work. It's the goy that's completely responsible to take care of all of the malacha. So in such a case, here, and the Igros Moshe speaks it out, it will be mutter. Since the yid is bechalal not responsible, nothing to do with getting the work done, even though there's a poyal that's getting paid from his money, still it will be mutter. Based on that, the Igros Moshe has a tremendous kula. One of the tshuvas that was written to Shlomo Miller that had to do with the Reichmans buying a public company. They were buying basically the entire company. The company did business on Shabbos, but the Reichmans were going to be passive investors. They were not going to be involved at all in the day-to-day operations. So over there, Rav Moshe paskens that Hayois, the case was the yid has nothing to do with the work. He's not directing it. He doesn't have any direct control. You know, in theory, he could take over the board and fire the CEO. But until that happens, where he is passive, it's the equivalent of just giving the guy money to invest. So as long as the business is a business that could be closed on Shabbos, they don't have to be open. So then the fact that the guy running the company choose to remain open on Shabbos because it's better for them, it's more convenient for them, there they'll be adaita de nafshei, and that would be mutter, even though ultimately it's the Jew's money that is paying for these poilim. Right. So the Igros Moshe deals with the problem of Maariv Zayin, and he says that although the company is you know, people may know that the yid bought it, since people also understand that in a public company, the fact that a person owns shares doesn't mean that he's running it. Unless the person takes over the board and starts putting in his people, he's not involved in the actual operations. It's the CEO, it's the people who are actually running it. So there he says there's no maris ayin. Because the maris ayin has to be where you be choshish. They're the ones telling people to work on Shabbos. And since there's this layer, and everyone understands public companies work differently than a private company, he says there would be no maris ayin, and he was matra.
They were just doing whatever they were doing. So
that's true, but if you're buying a gold mine or something that has to be open on Shabbos, then the very fact that you own it and their job is to run this, if that by its definition entails working 24/7, then that's kaveh malachtoi. Masha'in kain, if you have a real estate broker that can close one day, can close 2 days, there's nothing that says they have to work on Shabbos. The fact that they choose to because they want to take off Sunday is not kaveh malachtoi. That's adaita de nafshei. They're doing it, they're running it the way they see fit because it's more convenient for them. So this is the concept of shutvis. Again, as I pointed out before, most businesses have people working for them. So unless you have a goy ready to take achrayas for these workers, it is not a very practical etza. So let's go through now some of the lamais dika etzas that are done or that are suggested when a person has a business running on Shabbos. The first, and this is Shlomo Miller very strongly advocates it. It's more specific for real estate. Is if a person owns real estate and there's maintenance and work that has to be done on Shabbos, what he suggests is to restructure the contract with the management, with the people who are providing the maintenance, And instead of the maintenance people working for the owner, working for the Jew, what you do is you put in the lease that a portion of the lease, that the tenant is part of his rent or part of the lease is going directly to pay and to hire a maintenance company to care for the facility. And adarabah, when you hire the maintenance people, the contract is not between you and him. The contract is you are acting on behalf of the tenants, and you are hiring him to work for the tenants. And what you accomplish by doing that is that this maintenance person is no longer working for you. But if you do it like this, if you structure it like this, so then the maintenance people are working directly for the tenants. The tenants, if the tenants choose to call them on Shabbos, it is one guy hiring another guy to do work for them on Shabbos. And we do not have the problem of a poyo, of a sfer yoyim, or anything like that, because he's no longer working for you. Now, obviously, the owner is still responsible to make sure that things get done. He will be on top of it. But when he is on top of this maintenance person, he is acting now as an agent or on behalf of the tenants. He's not acting as the boss, as the employer, and this would avoid the problems of a sfer yoyim. Now, even Maris Ayin, again, the Shita Sataz notwithstanding, Maris Ayin is generally when the goy is working for you. So he's working as a kavlan, he's working as an aris, but since people don't realize it, there's an issue of Maris Ayin. Here, once you restructure it, the goy is bechlal not working for you. He's working, it's one goy hiring another goy to do melacha on Shabbos. So even if people may not realize that, you don't find an Isser Maris Ayin for one goy to do melacha for a second goy where it has nothing to do with you, even though it happens to be taking place on your house or on your premises. So again, the Shita, the Taz probably would aser. The Taz has a chumrah that if a shifcha cannot do even her personal work in a place that belongs to Yisrael because it looks like the Yisrael told her to do it. But again, the Taz is not muskum. The Eliyahu Rabbah brings down a number of chokim. So if you can set it up like this, where the maintenance people are not working for you, they're working for the tenants, then you will avoid the problem of amir la'akum. The second etza, which was discussed last week by Richos. I'll just go over it briefly because some people had some questions. And the second Eitzah, which is a more general Eitzah, is to create a management company for the workers. Now the idea here is that the Me'ikar HaDin, the problem with Amir L'Akam is when you do one of two things. Either when you have a Sekir Yoyim, you have a salaried employee that works for you. So when they do Melach on Shabbos, that will be awesome. What if you can somehow change this Sekir Yoyim into a Kablan? He's no longer a salaried employee. He is someone who he's an independent contractor or he's an artist. So then it's mutter, as provided you don't specifically tell him he must work on Shabbos, as long as it's not kaveya malachta. Now, in many businesses, it is not. If you can simply change your workers into a kablan, you pay them, you can change the way they're getting paid, that's great. And that will go a long way to solving your problems on Shabbos. However, especially in a larger business where you have low-level employees where it's difficult to change each of them into a kavlan. So what you can do is you can set up a management company. This company will be owned by a guy, and all of the employees will work for this management company. Now, as far as the economic impact, so just because it's a management company, you still control how much the management company gets paid. You don't have to give up all that much money. But if you do structure it like this, where there's an independent company, the checks are being paid by this independent company, the company is owned by a guy. So now the workers are all working for a guy, and your arrangement or your upmach is with this management company. If you set up your contract with the management company as a kaplan or as an aris, where they're getting paid not as a sfer yoyim, they're getting paid a certain flat amount to manage the facility or perhaps a profit share. So you've now effectively changed everyone into a kaplan. Because since you hire the management company, which is a guy, the guy may hire sfer yoyims, but they're working for the guy. Your relationship with this company is as a kaplan, as an artist. So that will be mutzer, provided it's not kaveya malachta. You cannot tell them specifically to work on Shabbos. So what do? How do you make sure that they work on Shabbos? So halacha is, although you cannot tell a kaplan to work on Shabbos, when you're setting up a compensation agreement, if he's getting paid, let's say, a profit share, now if he doesn't show up on Shabbos, there aren't going to be any profits because the business is not going to survive. So you can structure your contract where it is in the goy's interest to make sure that everything is taken care of on Shabbos. He's only getting paid based on profits, and therefore the goy will want to work on Shabbos because it's in his interest. But you never specifically told him to. Since we're dealing with a kablonis now, we're dealing with an independent contractor, Mikar Hadin, this would be mutter. Now this addresses the problem Mikar Hadin. Since there's the poil, they're not working for you, and the kablin, you were not kaveh malachta, you never said specifically he must work on Shabbos, Mikar Hadin, this would be mutter. We still do have a problem of Maharas Ayin. And that is, people on the outside, the same way if you hire a kablin, people will be choshish, people will think that it's a schir yoyim. They won't recognize that you restructured it. So if you hear too, if the norm is to have people to have a poil, then although you restructured it as a kablin, we do still have a problem with maris ayin. However, maris ayin is a lot less chomer than the din of amir laka. And in maris ayin, we learned that number one, there's a heter of hefsim meruba. That when there's a hefsin merubah, if there's going to be a tremendous loss, if you're not going to provide maintenance on Shabbos, then your entire business is in jeopardy. So by hefsin merubah, we are not choshish from Maharas Ayin. In addition, some places can say you should publicize the fact that there's a management company. Hang up a sign. Now, with regular Maharas Ayin, hanging up a sign will not get rid of Maharas Ayin. But again, especially if it's a hefsin merubah and you're publicizing it, there's more makom lahakal. And lastly, on top of that, I spoke to Rav Chaim Kohn this morning, he also suggests you do a heter mechira. We'll discuss heter mechira in a few moments, why many, very often you should not be samech on it alone. But if you once you've resolved the issue of Amir La'akam, you're only dealing with a problem of Maris Ayin, which is much more kal, there already it's much easier to be samech on the heter mechira. That's true. But the difference is like this. Kaveh Malachta is when you tell a kablin, I'm hiring you to do a job and you must work on Shabbos. If you tell him, I'm hiring you to do a job, and you structure his compensation, where if he doesn't show up on Shabbos, he's going to lose money. So it's true, you and I know he will work on Shabbos. But is he working on Shabbos because I imposed that on him? I told him, you must work on Shabbos for me? If that was the case, that's Kaveh Malachta, that would be awesome. But in this case, it's not what's happening. He's going to work on Shabbos because the way the contract is structured, he's only getting paid if there are profits, if this business is viable. So he knows it's in his interest to work on Shabbos. For putting a goy in a situation where he will work on Shabbos because it's for his benefit, that's not kaveh malachta, and that will be mutter. So this is the second etzah. The first etzah was, at least with real estate, if you can set it up where the maintenance is working directly for a tenant, that is a lechachilu dika etzah. Another option is if you're able to set up a management company, there already you've gotten rid of all the poilim. The poilim now work for the goy. You're dealing with a kablin, and as long as you're not kaveh malachta, there's no problem mikra hadin. The maris ayin is an issue, but the maris ayin between hefs and merubah, you publicize it in a hetu mechira. So there already there is very strong makom lahakol. Now the last eitzah and the most controversial is the eitzah of a hetu mechira. Now hetu mechira is a difficult topic to really discuss. Because there's both halacha and hashkafa involved. Everyone has their own rav. People were in business. Mistama spoke to someone. Whatever your psak was, that's what your psak is. But I'd like to go through some of the, at least what the controversy is, what the tzadim on each side of the shayla are. The idea of the hetu mechira, came with the Divrei Chaim, is the most famous of the mekilim, although it's clear from the tshuva of the Divrei Chaim, he was not the Baal Mechadesh. The idea of the hetu mechira is a person has a business that either must be open on Shabbos or he wants it to be open on Shabbos. So as we've learned about arichos, you cannot have a goy working for you. So the suggestion was that what you should do is every erev Shabbos, sell the business to a goy. At this point, it belongs to the goy. He'll hire the worker. The workers will now be working for the goy. And everything should be fine. Now, the Yisrael, doesn't want to sell it to the guy. His whole idea is he wants to keep the profits. So there were different ways of making sure that the Yisrael would end up with the money. Basically, what was typically done was the business was sold at a high price. The goy would not pay cash. He would buy it on credit. The Jew would charge a nice hefty interest. And therefore, the goy was basically in a position that after Shabbos, the Yisrael would basically say, pay me the, you know, tens of thousands of dollars that you're supposed, that you owe me for buying it, plus all the interest. Or if you don't want to do that, if you can't afford to do that, I'll make a deal with you. Give me all the profits that you earned. I'll give you $10, and everyone will be happy. So basically, the idea is to enter into a transaction where the business is nominally sold to a guy. The workers are now working on behalf of the guy. But ultimately, the Yisrael will end up with all of the economic benefit of the transaction. So you don't go ahead every week. And the way it's done is it's not done every week. They sign one contract basically in the beginning of the year, basically selling it for the next 52 weeks. They're selling it every Friday afternoon. You sell it a little bit before Shabbos so that you don't have issues of Skar Shabbos. There's Havlah. But basically from an hour before Shabbos until an hour after Shabbos every week, it's being sold. Now again, if you go through the poskim, there are different spins. Sometimes some people have you sell it to the guy completely. You rent it back to him for Yemei Sachol. There are different ways that it's structured. But the basic idea is to sell it to the goy now owns it for Shabbos, and somehow the Yid, one way or another, the Yid will end up with all the profits. Now, the Poskim take issue for this mahalach for a number of angles. The first and probably the most basic problem is that this whole deal is a haram. Neither party takes it very seriously. There's a by now a, you know, famous or infamous story. There was a fellow who owned a nursing home, and he went through the halachas. He decided that he wants to make sure that this hetem mechira is done mamish the best way possible. So he sits down with the guy. He gives him a whole chabura for an hour, explaining to him how he's buying it and it's real and it's his and this is not fake and it's not a haram one. Yutaka owned the nursing home and you're gonna, you know, this is the, how much you're gonna pay me. And he went through the whole shekel Torah. He made sure he really, really understood it well. So then he turns to him and says, "Do you have any questions?" He said, "Yeah, Rabbi, I have one question. The way you explained it to me beautifully, turns out that I owned this nursing home. Is that correct?" "Sure, that's you got 100% you're correct." He said, "Well, if I own this nursing home, how come you're sitting in the fancy chair and I'm cleaning the toilets?" So ultimately, however you write the document, however seriously you want to take it, it's rather unlikely that the goy, who more often than not is a janitor or someone who is a low enough intelligence that you're not afraid he'll actually run off with the thing. But it's, unfortunately, the reality is it's done in a way which it's not taken seriously. And a deal that's not taken seriously, where there's no smichas das, especially when you're dealing with a goy that doesn't have smichas das, it's very difficult to argue that during this 24-hour period, the ownership of this facility really passed to the guy. What? So the Poskim all discuss the fact by chametz that it's haram. Now, by chametz, there happen to be people who are mocked, but not to do it by chametz gomer. But they make chalukim. They say that chametz, number one, is less chomer. Shabbos, we find, even by mir la'akam, even though it's a derabanon, chametz is a potential deraisa if you're not mevatelet. But Amir Lachem, we find there are many more gezeiros. Chazal were much more choishish for the Yisr. And they add also, chametz were not afraid, where people are going, there's a gemiras das to sell the chametz. The goy understands that he bought it. It's true it's a harama. The harama is the goy knows that in a week from now you're going to buy it back. But during this period he understands he owns it, and he does it because he has this comfort level that will be taken back from him. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Mechira on Shabbos, I think with Derech Klal, neither the Goy nor the Yid really thinks that during this period he is no longer the owner. That's just the Metzias HaDvarim. They don't take it seriously. You're dealing with huge amounts of money, large businesses. The Goy really doesn't expect and perhaps may not even have an interest in becoming an owner in this tremendous asset. Now the other issue is that the workers, the Poilim that are there, if you ask your employees in the nursing home, who do you work for? So they know, the Jew in the office. You ask him, who do you work for on Shabbos? He's not going to say the janitor. They don't know about it. And even if they know that the Jews do some funny thing, has to do with chametz, They're still working Adas the Yisrael. They're working because the Yisrael, when hired him, said, this is your job. You're working 7 days a week. The Yisrael is the one that set up the terms. So it's very difficult to really imagine that come Shabbos, the Goy is working Adai Tidinafshay. On top of that, even this janitor or this person who nominally owns the nursing home, it's true, let's make this assumption that perhaps that in theory he might own it. But the reality is, because he understands from the beginning that we have this arrangement in place where come Sunday morning or come the end of the year, the only thing he's going to end up with is $20. There's no way he is ending up with any material gain based on his ownership. Can you really say that when he's working, when he's hiring the poilim, it's adaita denafshei? He knows good and well the person who's going to benefit, the profits will all flow to the Yisrael. He knows good and well that any hefsid will be the Yisrael's responsibility. So even if nominally he owns it for this period, if it's structured and set up in such a way where the money is all going to the Yisrael, and the Goy cannot and will never see a dime, regardless of whether business booms or does terribly, Devar Chaim says it's not adaita denafshei. And we'll invite to go back to a case of Amir Lakum. We got to that. And lastly, we haven't really addressed the issue of Marazayim. Even if you set up this sale, they're certainly not Mefursim, and certainly there would be a Marazayim. Now, we did mention the Shaar Tzion, that perhaps when you do a Hetu Mechira, again, for Marazayim, it might be enough, but other places can argue, and they say that since to the Hamaynam, since the public, it looks like everything stayed the same, it's still being run by the Yid, there is an issue of Marazayim. This issue, or this was a tremendous controversy. Now, it does seem, although the majority of the places that we have that wrote Tshuvas about the matter seem to Aser, it does seem that it was fairly prevalent in Europe to do it. The Shaul Meshev is Mekel. He actually said Mekel L'Chachila. He argues very strongly on the Divrei Chaim. Even the Divrei Chaim Divrei Chaim is brought down as a Mekel. But if you look through the Tshuva that we had this morning, he is a very reluctant Mekel. He is Mekel only because he says Maris Ayin has gone away because everyone's doing it anyway. And he's a Mekel only because he says, if I'm not Mekel, they will do a bigger Isser. So it is better to be Mekel on a small Isser in order to prevent people from doing a bigger Isser. But the Divrei Chaim says, that's only with the assumption that if you don't do this, people are not going to listen. They're open anyway, so do at least do this. But he says, if the other alternative, if you tell them there is no Eitzah, they will close, the Divrei Chaim says, you should not write such a Hetzah. So to count him among the Mekilim is rather difficult, because it's true he is Mekel, but only under duress and only when the person will otherwise just do it b'Isser. Now that being said, again, we mentioned the Shoah Meshev was Mekel. Divrei Chaim, who says it's not a good thing, but Divrei Chaim himself says that it was pretty prevalent to be done. And that's why he's not bothered by Maariv Zayin. He says everyone knows there's a Hetzer Mechir. Everyone knows that they have some sort of Eitzah, and therefore there's no issue of Maariv Zayin. So certainly it was done. It does not seem like many Poskim were certainly not enthusiastic about it. And again, some of them outright asserted it. The Shevet HaLevi writes that it shouldn't be done. The El Rabbi Yasha was makbid. The Igros Moshe was makbid. Now, the Igros Moshe has a Peledik Tshuva, I think, that really sheds light on and opens up the whole issue. The Igros Moshe Chelik Dalet Siman Nun Hei begins, he was asked about a Hetzer Mechira, how to write a Hetzer Mechira. So it's a very interesting tshuva. The first half of the tshuva, the Igros Moshe says that Hetzer Mechira is not a good idea. He says, even when I was in Europe, I was never masking to it. It's a harama gadoilo. And also, most of the times, it's not done correctly. The guy is not working it out to the nafshei. And then he says, if you're matar, it'll cause other kukulim. People will forget about Shabbos, and they'll end up being mechal Shabbos. But then the Igros Moshe continues, L'chein benidin hazeh, so after the Igros Moshe gives a whole Hakdama, you shouldn't write Hetzer Mechira. He says, what should you do? So you should sell the business for Shabbos and Yontiv to the guy. And you make sure that the guy, however much you're going to charge him, you charge him the keren, you charge him the interest. And then at the end of after Shabbos and Yontif, he has to pay back the Karen in interest. And if not, then you come to some sort of arrangement. So how do you read this tshuva? The first half of the tshuva is blasting a heter mechira. The second half of the tshuva is okay. So sell it to the guy. Sell it to him. You know, sell it to him as a Karen Veribis, and you figure out how much a salary is and a hostical title. So is this mutter or not? What does the Gris Moshe mean? So I think the pshat in the Gris Moshe is that let's take a step back. Let's say a person really sells his business to the guy on Shabbos. Is there any issue with doing that? Shabbos is going to belong to the guy. You sell it to him, Shabbos is his. He has the risk, it's his, he does what he wants. He owns the business for today. So putting aside Maris Ayin, L'chayr, that's mutter l'charchila. It belongs to a guy. The guy is open on Shabbos. The fact that it belonged to you yesterday doesn't make it usher today. There's nothing wrong with that. Because Moshe seems to hold that the problem with this what we call the heter mechira, is when the mechira is done in ba'ayfin harama, where it's not real. The guy knows what happens on Shabbos is irrelevant. He's getting his $20, his $100 at the end of the year. If the business does well, he's not going to benefit. If it does poorly, he will not suffer. The whole thing is a sham. There the Gris Moshe writes, that's a harama. That's something even in Europe he was against. It shouldn't be done. Ma'ase Enkin, if you're going to structure it in a way where it's real, you sign, as the Gris Moshe writes, you sign a real contract. Shabbos and Yontif, it's his. You set it, now you don't have to give it away for free. You can sell it to him at a fair price. You can charge him interest if he doesn't pay you. But do it in a way where it makes sense. Now the guy, if Shabbos for some reason things boom and you make a fortune, the guy has an upside. It makes sense for the guy to do this because he has a potential revach. And when he does it, he knows Shabbos is his. And he now is motivated to make sure that the business is running on Shabbos. Because if it does well, he will end up with a few extra dollars in his pocket. So I think l'kulei amar. There's no one says you can't sell a business to a guy for Shabbos. The objection and the shakavataria is when the whole thing is a harama, when there's no real material impact for the guy. But if a person is ready to sell it for Shabbos, sell it for whatever the price is, where the guy now has a potential upside, where now makes sense, where the guy is working, he's doing adayta d'nafshei. So again, you have to address the Maris Ayin, you should publicize it, there are things that you should be done. But there, l'chayr l'kulei amar, there's no reason why it shouldn't work, because it's taka not amir l'akam, it's taka not working on your behalf. Now, of course, the challenge is that when people do the hetem mechiras, very often, they want it to be easy, they want it to be cheap, they don't want to give anything away. So in that situation, where you want to be open on Shabbos, you want to make money on Shabbos, and you want to somehow have a heter, so there you have a heter mechira, which, again, many poskim were not happy with. If a person is prepared to taka sell it to the guy on for Shabbos and Yontif in a real way, and there's a potential upside for a guy where it makes sense for the guy to be running the business on Shabbos, if a person's ready to do that, that there could be done by even which should be mutter l'charchila.
What do you do about a loss?
What?
That's the upside. What happens if it's a downside?
So good. So the guy is taking a risk. If there's enough of an upside potential, it's worth it for him. If you buy a business, there's a risk. So he's buying a business for Shabbos. He's buying it for Yontif. What?
Now, I had a contract.